Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Titus. Titus 1.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program tonight, or today. I'd like to thank you for joining us. All those who called in is 646-668-2636. You can press 1 on your keypad to join the conversation, ask a question, and share your wisdom, your insights on our topic tonight. All those online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're on the link there. We also thank you. We see you there. You can reach out to us in the chat or on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. It's Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you can reach out to us there. We're going with prayer. We're going to go right into our conversation tonight. We're going to talk about examining ourselves and who we are as men of God and who we are in Christ Jesus and knowing in the assurance and talk about being secure in our faith and who we are in this Christian walk. Amen. Father God, we say thank you right now, Lord. Father, I say thank you right now. Father, I say forgive me, Lord God. Forgive me all of my sins of omission and commission, Lord God. Forgive me when I've fallen short, Lord God, when I didn't do your will, God, when I stepped out of your will. Forgive me for the mistakes, oh God, knowing and unknowing, oh God. Father, I pray today, oh God, for my children, oh God, and my grandchildren, God. I pray for my family, for my wife, oh God. For those that I'm connected to by blood and by spirit, Lord God. We pray for the church today, oh God. That you would, God, set your hedge of protection around the church, the body of Christ today, as it continue to be used by you in the midst of this culture, oh God. Father, we pray for the church worldwide, Lord God, not just here in America, God, but for the church everywhere, Lord God. For those who are called by your name on this earth, Lord God, we're praying, God, that you, oh God, would touch the lives, guide and direct, God. Give them wisdom, give them discernment, God. Let them persevere, whatever their circumstances are, Lord God, because we all are in different places, but you are one God, you're omnipresent, you're everywhere at the same time, God. So for those brothers and sisters overseas in other countries, God, who have different struggles and different challenges, Lord God, God, we ask, oh God, that they will put on the full armor of God for their battle, Lord God. So, Father, we just say thank you right now, God. We thank you for the shed blood of your son, Jesus, God. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, oh God, that we may be able to walk out this Christian life, that we may be justified, sanctified, God, purified, oh God, and that someday we'll stand before you glorified. Father, we ask, oh God, again, God, that you would touch those, oh God, who are in the hospital beds this morning, oh God, who woke up in the hospital bed. We pray for the families, oh God. Comfort them, oh God, as their loved ones, oh God, are in the midst of a sickness, oh God, on their path to healing, oh God. We ask you comfort those, oh God, who family members and those that are connected with have passed away, oh God, have gone on to glory, Lord God. We pray for them also, oh God, that they might be comforted in the midst of it, oh God, because in you, death is not the last word, Lord God. So, Father, we pray for salvation today for the lost who do not know you, God, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would have eternal life with you, O God, and not spend eternity in punishment and separated from you, O God. So, Father, we just say thank you right now. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for living within us, O God. And, Father, we thank you, God, for the challenges, O God. We thank you for wisdom and discernment. We ask that you continue to strengthen us, guide us, and direct us in every step and every word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Again, I want to thank the brothers who called in at 646-668-2636. Thank you for joining us this morning, being part of the program. Again, I want to give a quick announcement update. If you're listening to me now online, or if you call in and listen to this broadcast on the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, know that on Saturday mornings we have changed our time. We are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. live. We changed it from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So that's one of the changes we made for this quarter. And going into the new year of 2020, we're going at Saturdays at 10 a.m. So spread the word. You can always check our Facebook page, and it'll be posted there. And we just, again, invite you to call in, share with the brothers, be part of the program, be part of the discussion. Amen. Amen. Well, today, brothers, we're going to be talking about, I just want to bring back to your remembrance to encourage you in this Christian walk, because that's what we do here. It's just Christian men's walk. We want to talk to the husband, fathers, and sons to encourage you in your faith, encourage you in your walk, no matter what you're going through, no matter what challenges are put before you, that you will stay faithful and that you will grow in the things of God and grow in Christ. So, amen. We're going to talk about being a Christian man and what it means to examine ourselves. But the Bible directs us to examine ourselves. We know that we are Christians. Many people today have claimed to be, a Christian. They point back to the day of salvation, the day of the sinner's prayer, that their past claim of their past sinner's prayer, their past, they've given their life to Christ. They can tell you the date and the day and the time and the place. But today we want to talk about what the Bible says, that we are to test ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, Paul says to the church, test yourselves to see that you are of the faith. Examine yourselves. So we have to be, wouldn't have to be able to say that, that God is looking at not our past events for the assurance of our salvation, but to our present circumstance, our present walk. Nowhere in the Bible does it verify anyone's salvation by their past acts, but by their present. And this is what Paul was telling the Corinthians. If you study the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, there was a lot of things going on in that church. The reason Paul wrote them the letters and the reason why he had to correct some things that were going on there. And even if we look at the apostles from Paul and from Peter, those letters were written to encourage the church, encourage some things that was going on, to correct some things, because, again, that was not the faith, that was not the salvation and the faith that, and the doctrine that Paul taught during his missionary journeys, but they were drifting away. And a lot of it was they were following false teachers, because Peter warned about the false teachers coming within the flock. Paul talked about it. And so these are the things that we have to do when we talk about examining ourselves and who we are in Christ. So today I just wanted to bring that to the forefront of our mind and of our thinking, and even of our prayers, or who we are in Christ, and examining ourselves. Again, this is for each man, because every man has to know where he stands. As we get up every morning, we look in the mirror, to brush our teeth, to shave, to comb my hair. Who is that guy you're looking at? Who is that man, and is that man saved? Is that man a Christian? And what does our life look like? And that's the thing we have to also be able to judge for ourselves. Again, here it is, Christian issues, man talk. I always say, we don't, any of the brothers I bring on, or even myself, as we have these discussions, it's not about putting ourselves on a pedestal, thinking that we have it all together, because we don't. But we are to encourage one another. and hold each other accountable to the Word of God, and that we measure ourselves by the Word of God and not by each other. Because again, let me say that again. We are to look at the Word of God and see where we are in obedience to the Word of God. And that's what we measure our faith, the measure, get the insurance of our salvation. No pastor, no elder, nobody laying hands on you, praying for you, can give you the insurance of salvation. The only place you can do that is get it from the Word of God and by the confirmation of the Holy Spirit living within you, knowing that you are living obedient lives to God. Amen. So, again, we're talking about the distinguishing marks of a Christian and what it means. You know, there's a standard that God has called us all to. If we know that we're men of God and we're Christian, we have to compare our life with the standard that God presents in the gospel, in the Bible. Specifically, we're going to talk in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, I give that to brothers for homework. And for those who are listening, Matthew chapter 5, and just study that. Not read it, but study it and see what God has called us to be, the character of the men, or who we're supposed to be as men of God, as husbands and fathers, how we ought to think, how we ought to walk, and the standard of righteousness that he gives there. Because our lives are to be examples. Any man's life as a Christian should be an example, as confessed Christians, of righteousness. You know, it's we can't be living and doing things in our lives and living a certain way and people see us a certain way if we are not representing God. You know, we hear it as a cliche that we are epistles read by men. I mean, it's a scripture, but we always say people, our testimony, how we live is a testimony of the gospel. But then we have to be, then when we say that, we have to understand that is a true thing. How we live, where are we in our Christian walk? What do people see in us? Do they see righteousness? And what is our righteousness? Is it the righteousness that we have or that a man tells us we are? Or is it the standard, is the Word of God? And that's the thing I want to point out to us. It's the standard. You know, let me encourage you, if you have something, if you don't, again, if you have anything to write with or take notes, but I express that you would go back and listen to this again at the archive, because I'm going to give a couple of scriptures here, because I want to give some scriptures that will plant some seeds, get us to thinking, to get our minds on the Word and what we're looking at when we talk about examining ourselves and who we are. First of all, let's start here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to jump down to verse number 9. Because this says it all. You know, because a lot of things are going on in this culture, in the church, and who's saved and what's saved and what's acceptable and tolerance and would be, and sometimes it's for true Christians we're called bigots and intolerant. All we are is again, we're living as obedient men of God and what the Word of God says. So let's begin right here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go to verse number 9. We'll start there. Amen. It says, Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or are drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So, verse 11. So of you were once like that, but you have been cleansed, you are made holy, you are made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Amen? So that's who we are in Christ. The Word of God defines it, who is not a child of God and who is a child of God. And that's the standard we have to live at. And some of those things that were mentioned and said there, if these are part of their life for any man, no matter who they are, if these are the characteristics of their life, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's as simple as that. That's what the Word says, and this is what we believe, and this is who we are. So, and even in that, we look in the mirror. Is any of those things describe you? Any of the things that I mentioned? And again, it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Is any of those characteristics in your life you may need to repent? And repent, ask God to deliver you from, and then continue to, in this walk and move forward. Because, again, these are the things that can crop up. They cropped up in the Corinthian church, and they crop up today in our lives of men, in some churches, in some communities. But let me say this too. The standard is for confessed Christians, men of God, not the sinner man. The sinner man, we can never condemn the sinner man for the sins because they are the sinner man. They're non-believers. Amen? So these standards are for us, we hold each other to. We hold ourselves and we hold each other to. This is why Issues Christian Men Talk, the importance of having men's ministry, having fellowships where we hold each other accountable, that we're not really judging each other, but we're holding each other accountable to the Word of God and encouraging those along the way, those who struggle in sin. Because that is also a thing that we have to be mindful. In love, do we help each other to get to mature and grow in Christ? Amen? Amen. So one of that his standard is righteousness. We have to examine our lives as Christian men. We'll find no such, that we find righteousness as a standard, that we're living righteousness. You know, we have to be able to be cleanse ourselves of something, be purged of some things, and continue to press into those things. You know, it spoke about, let me see, I want to go to Matthew chapter number 20. And it speaks about that we, you know, that the Pharisees, their righteousness, even and when Jesus came, the Pharisees were running the church, they were running the temple there in Jerusalem, and a lot of the things they did was for outward appearance. And they called all that righteous. They're alive. They attended the temple regularly. You go to church every regular. You go to church every Sunday. You never miss a Sunday. They paid tithes. They paid the tithe through the tithe system of the Old Testament. They were faithful to that thing. They made tithes to that. You know, they fasted. They did public fast. They was in the street fasting 40 days and 10 days and sackcloth and ashes and all these things. They prayed constantly. They prayed in public. They prayed out loud. They prayed in the temple. They prayed in the crowd. They prayed in the services. They were doing all these things. And I will relate that back to now in the New Testament church. You're doing all these things and think that's righteousness. And that is not what God condemned them for it, and he called it out for them. Let me go real quick. Let's go to it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to go down to verse number 20, where Jesus talked about it. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than that righteousness of the teachers of religions, of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So their righteousness is all superficial, outward appearance, so they can be admired and applauded by the people. The people could see them. They had fancy robes, fancy whatever. They had the whole outfit. Anyone who studied the Old Testament, God ordained them to wear certain things. He did call that. He gave Moses specific directions. But, you know, when that becomes your righteousness, it's outward. It's outward. And that's what sometimes religious turns into, our outward expression of how we see God, how we worship God. But when Christ came, he came to renew the heart and change minds and change us from the inside out. So we are living by God's standard. And that sets us apart as a child of God, how we live every day, every day. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, because we're striving to live a life that's pleasing to him and to live holy. So I'm going to jump to Hebrews chapter 12, and go to verse number 14. Again, you know, it's the word of God. You can meditate on these scriptures and consider that we are examining ourselves. These are distinguishing marks of a Christian man, and that we are men of God, that we're confessed men of God. And these are some of the things we have to look at ourselves and measure ourselves to Scripture. Remember, Scripture is our blueprint. It's our chalk line. It's the yardstick that we measure our lives with. So every day that we come, that we are striving to be more like him and be obedient to him. Amen. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, and it says, work on living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are holy, those who are not holy will not see the Lord. We have to live holy lives. We have to live lives where, you know, we're obedient. And that's the best way I can explain it, to make every man understand. Our holiness is our obedience. Our obedience to the Holy Spirit and our obedience to the Word. Because the more that we have the Word, and once we are confessed and converted, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and the Holy Word helps us to fulfill and live obedient to the Word. You know, I learned a long time ago, you know, is that the will of God, you want to know the will of God for your life? Read His Word. Obey His Word. That's the will. That's the will of God for your life. If you start there, and then through the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you and direct you in every area of your life. So for every man listening, every husband, father, and son, seek out the Word. Prayer. Seek the Word. And listen for God to speak to you. Because He's going to use a lot. He's going to use your pastor. He's going to use the brothers in your group, in your men's group, what I call your circle of influence. Who are you hanging around? Are you hanging around men of God? Or you confess to be a Christian and you have no real Christian friend? You are, and like I always mention it every time I get into a conversation or do the program, if you're not part of a local congregation and connected, you are in disobedience. God died for the church. The church is Christ's bride. So if you're not part, if you're not His bride and part of a local congregation, because no man is meant to be alone. We are sheep, and He is our shepherd, and the shepherd has many sheep. And we are called to be part of the body to protect each other, to pray. Who's praying for you? Who are you praying with? Who are you praying for? This is why we are called to be part of a local congregation. You know, I know you can watch. We can watch a lot of things on TV. We can watch be part of a lot of ministries, watch a lot of sermons. Even listening to this is not a substitute for being of part of a local body. And I know that we're in a pandemic, but I know churches now, almost most churches, are doing Zoom streaming broadcasts where you can connect. There's conference calls. There's prayer lines. There's ways that we can connect one to another. And if you were in it before the pandemic, if you were a part of the ministry and part of a congregation, are you reaching out to all those folk that you sat with every Sunday for the last 2 years? Do you even have their numbers? Do you know where they live? Are we connecting? Even in the midst of the pandemic, you know, a lot of churches' buildings are closing, but do we know where each other lives? How do we reach each other? How do we keep in contact to encourage one another in the faith? You know, my pastor, the church I'm part of now, my pastor talks about people drifting because they're disconnecting. But as men of God, we have to be anchored because, again, we have our families, our wives, our children, and as men in the culture and in the community, we are the anchor for some folk. So we have to be rooted and grounded that people can latch on to us to hold on, that they will not drift. Amen? Amen. So also, one of the distinguishing marks of a Christian, as we're talking about here, it's just Christian Men's Talk. You can always reach out to me on Facebook at It's Just Christian Men's Talk. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr and listen to the archive of all our shows there. And if you called in at 646-668-2636 and you want to be part of the conversation or have an insight or want to share, press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. And again, I thank you all the brothers who called in. I see you on the switchboard. Or those online, we appreciate you. But we're going to continue to move on what we're talking about today. One of the other things that distinguishes us as men of God, as Christian men, is that we have a clear and genuine righteousness and living holy. Now, living holy and righteousness, it's not that we don't sin, but there's a decrease in the frequency of our sin, of our shortcomings, of our falling short. True believer hates his sin and repents of it. It's hunger and thirsting after righteousness. We obey God. We love it. We love the brothers. We love each other. We hate sin. We hate the evil of the world, of the world system. We hate it to the point where we're not violent hate, but we hate it because we disagree, because it is disagreeable with the Word of God and the standard that we live for and our personal standard. So that's why we're called to pray. We're called not to be part of the world system. But we're of the world, but we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to remember that. Because there's a lot of things going on in the culture, in the world, in this society that is not biblical and is not obedient to God and is really disobedient to God in a lot of ways and a lot of things. But are we living separate from it, that we're not living it out? It's not part of our lives. It's not who we are. And then are we being salt and light in the midst of it? Because we all are involved in at work, in our communities, different groups that we're part of. Are we salt and light in those situations, in those circumstances? That we think different, that we have a renewed mind in those things, and living a life that is biblical and that is right. And that we not, and for the brothers who, a lot of brothers who come along and struggle with sin, is the sin lessening and lessening in your life? Are you making better choices? That's what we have to understand, who we are in God, that we're making better choices as we grow in Him and grow in faith and become more mature in the things of God. Amen? Again, I'm going to talk about, again, some of the signs and some of the distinctions and the marks of a Christian man. And one, I want to jump to two more things here tonight before we close to touch on. First, I'm going to give homework. The homework is to read and study Matthew chapter number 5. Spend some time in it. Meditate on that word, on what Jesus taught there at the Sermon on the Mount, and how it applies to you in your life. And one of the things we have to definitely be part of is our testimony, the distinction of our testimony. Are we living a life that truly, for those who knew us before and those who knew us now, is the testimony of our life pleasing to God? Are we being salt and light? Are we really doing the things that we are preserving? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we evangelizing? These are all things that we are able to share and be a testimony to those around us, to be a distinct testimony that we are called, that we have a past testimony and a present testimony. What has God done for you last month, last week, last year? You know, we remember our testimony of our conversion, of when we came to faith, but then what is God doing in our life today, and are we sharing that? Are we praising God for the things that He brought us through? Because, again, it's a day-to-day walk to understand God and how God is going to use us and to live a life obedient if we start every day in prayer. And, again, it goes back to do we have a character of obedience? Do we have a character of obedience? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and go to verse number 17. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go there real quick before we close. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. And the word says, "Do not misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish the purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called greater in the kingdom." Amen? So are we living obedient lives to the word of God? Are we teaching the things of God to each other, to our families? Are we encouraging one another as brothers, as men of God, as we come together in fellowship and teaching? Are we teaching the people the word of God? Are we just making disciples? Are we discipling someone? Are we being discipled so that we can be grown into the word of God? Because it's about us and hungering after righteousness. You know, that sin will be purged from us, and that there will be an overwhelming desire for us to submit to His word. And that's where the spiritual growth, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to change and transform us. You know, because the Holy Spirit's job is to grant an assurance in the believer. Each of us, the Holy Spirit is where we're going to get. We're going to be rooted and grounded and have our confidence that He grants it to us by an inward testimony and an outward demonstration. I have one more scripture here before we close out. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse number 16. Amen. For it is his spirit joined with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. That verse is a verse we can live on. Our spirit agrees with the spirit of God and that we are living obedient to him, so that we have an inward testimony, an inward assurance, and then it manifests itself in an outward demonstration on how we live every day. How we think, how we act, how we handle situations, how we handle trauma, how we handle the different circumstances that life brings towards us, how we respond to failures, how we respond to successes, how we respond to a testing of our faith, a testing of who we are, what kind of men are we going to be, and a test of our character. It's all rooted and grounded in the Word and in the Spirit within us. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Ishan's Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we have changed our Saturday to 10 a.m. We encourage you to join us and call in at 646-668-2636 and be part of the discussion. Bring your insight and your wisdom to the topic, and that you may be able to help someone. But again, the gospel is spread, and God uses each of us to spread his gospel, to be a testimony of what he can do, the testimony of his transforming power, the testimony of his renewing lives, that someone may hear the gospel and hear our testimony, and that will be their day of salvation, and they will be converted. Because God plans to use every one of his saints to advance his kingdom and to spread that gospel. So God has created you, because there is a soul out there that is waiting to hear the gospel from you, to see the gospel in your life, that they might believe and be saved. They're not going to hear from your pastor, they're not going to hear from the elders, they're not going to hear from the TV evangelists. But you will say something that would encourage them along the way and help them grow in discipleship and be the man and God that God has planned for them through you. Amen. So I ask that you continue to pray. Continue to pray for me as I continue to pray for you. I like to thank all the brothers who called in again and those listening online at www.livetalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and connect with us on Facebook. And this is Christian Men's Talk. We're putting together, there's a couple of things we're doing here for this last quarter of the year, first quarter of next year. We're going to be doing some Zoom meetings, some man-up conferences, and we have a men's prayer group we're starting up on Mondays. You inbox me on Facebook, and I'll get you the number and the access codes for the men's prayer on Monday night. And again, just continue in the faith, no matter what you're going through. No matter what the tests and the challenges are, know that God is in you and with you and is on your side. And I ask that you pray for me and my family as we continue to press forward and see what God is going to do in the midst of all that's going on in the world today. Father God, we just say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, for being God. Father, we ask you to continue to bless all the brothers on the line today who've called in, all those who've listened in, all those that will listen in. Strengthen them and keep them. Say keep them on purpose, keep them on mission, and God can continue to press them, that they would grow in the knowledge of you, that they might be used for you, that they would stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.